Good evening, everybody, and welcome to episode 2 of the Elegant Men of Leisure.
The Gentlemen of Elegant Leisure.
The Men of... Oh, God. Stop it.
No, we're going to stick with that
one.
Oh,
really?
That's great.
Oh, okay.
Because that shows our informal...
and ineptitude as well. Yeah, I should really get the title down before
The show is so new.
It's so new. I've got so many other shows that I host, that's hard to keep track of them all. Anyways.
It's all right.
But here we are, Dave and Jason.
Yes.
For another foray into the exciting world of booze and, well, mostly cocktails.
That's right. Booze and ancient cocktails.
Mm-hmm. And what are you going to make tonight, Mixmaster?
Well, we'll keep with the tradition, I think, of having 2 drinks.
Okay.
But you may remember last time we were talking about slings.
Yeah.
And we were drifting towards the Trader Vic's sling.
Right.
And so I thought, well, let me just find the old recipe for that again. And I stumbled upon a different recipe entirely. I was looking for something that involves slow gin, because you got me this slow gin. This is Mr. Boston slow gin.
Yeah.
Which is...
What is it exactly?
It's gin.
Yeah. Well, I figured, got gin in the name. It must have gin in there somewhere.
Yes, it's gin, but it's there's like a little berry. There's a picture of it there.
Oh.
The slow berry.
The slow berry.
And it's like a... It grows on a bush. I want to say it's a plum, but it's not a plum.
Oh.
It grows in a bush.
Hmm.
And then they soak it in the gin, thus turning it into a liqueur, a gin-based liqueur.
And isn't gin based on the juniper berry?
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's a big berry fest, really.
Yeah, because it's kind of funny, actually, because I guess gin is really just vodka.
Okay, yeah.
But then they put the botanicals in it to give you the ginny sort of qualities to it. And then somebody said, you know what this gin could use? Slow berries.
Yeah.
And so they do that. And so it's kind of a sweet liqueur. And look at that. In fact, this one here, Mr. Boston, is slow and gin. See that? There's a little tiny and in there.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah.
Slow and gin. Wins the race. Anyway, you couldn't get any slow gin in our neighborhood of Canada for the longest time, so you brought that back from the States somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I forget if you got that in California or if you were able to get that in Washington State.
I don't recall.
Yeah. Now you can get slow gin here, which we'll try another time because... it'll be a slightly different mixture of it. Anyway, so I was looking for slow gin because slow gin figures into that Trader Vic's sling. And so I was looking at slow gin just to see what else they had. And this is a great book. This is the Trader Vic's bartender guide.
Yeah. No, it looks like it's somewhat ancient looking.
Yes, it's not as ancient as you think, although it's pretty ancient.
Mm-hmm.
I think it depends on when you were born as to how ancient it is.
Yeah, people could say we're ancient.
Yes.
They are, but this looks perhaps even older than us.
I think his first book he did in about 1948, but this is the 1972 revised edition.
Well, we were alive.
Yes, we were alive. And Trader Vic, Vic Bergeron, was the guy behind the Trader Vic's Polynesian tiki restaurant
bars,
stuff.
Right.
But I think he sort of fancied himself as a saloon keeper.
Mm.
You know, he was slinging drinks in the 30s, right?
Yeah.
And so he writes in a very informal style. Mm-hmm. And so the first thing that jumped out at me on this one here was he says, "This is an old-fashioned drink that's going out of style." I thought, what drink is going out of style that he think that wasn't going to be current again in 1972? Because in the introduction of his book, he says that he's not going to include drinks that you're not going to use or that are going out of style.
Right.
So he's using this one here. So it's called the Blackthorn Cocktail.
Oh.
And so I did a bit of research. Not much.
But enough.
A little bit into the Blackthorn Cocktail. And there's a gin one, and there's also a whiskey one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
And so I thought, well, let's try the Blackthorn Cocktail. I have not tried it. I don't know why I'm speaking like that.
So if you go to a bar and say, can I have a Blackthorn Cocktail? They're going to say, well, do you want it one of these 2 different versions? They're going to question you on it, what you want it?
Because when I searched online, in the midst of the stuff, there was like Blackthorn Cocktail rediscovered.
Ah.
Somebody's making them again.
Oh.
But they're doing the Irish whiskey one.
Okay.
And I thought, this is perfect because you are preferably a gin drinker.
I am.
So we'll do the gin Blackthorn.
Mm-hmm.
But your Irish heritage.
Of course. Of course. I've got to, yeah, sure. I've got to give them a little salute to my ancestors there with a bit of Bushmills.
A little bit of Bushmills. So that's what we're doing. We're going to do two cocktails. We're doing the Blackthorn Gin and the Blackthorn Irish Whiskey.
Okay.
And they're both similar, and they're both different, and they're probably both related somehow to the Manhattan. But but that's for another day when we
when we covered Manhattan.
Yes. And so so I figured we'll try the gin one here first. And again, there was a couple of different recipes, and so I have lots of old bar books.
Do you? Yes, I know you do.
Because I'd go to the used bookstores and I would buy everyone I could. Yeah. And this is Patrick Gavin Duffy. Mm-hmm. He did the Standard Bartender's Guide, and I have one that goes back to 1948 that includes both these recipes as well. This one...
So it's been around.
It's been around. I wish I had a birth date to it. It could be... It's 100 years old. I'm sure it's a 100-year-old drink.
Well, let's say it's its birthday today, and we'll drink to celebrate it.
There we go.
Yeah.
Today, no matter what day it is, wherever you're listening to it, raise a glass as you make this to the... Gin Blackthorn. We're not even going to call it. We're just going to call it the Blackthorn. Yeah, this version of the book is 1960.
Okay.
That's all right. And so it calls for the slow gin, sweet vermouth, and orange bitters.
I did not know there was a sweet vermouth.
Yeah.
Because it's usually such a vile tasting liquor. I guess it was only a matter of time they would come up as a sweet vermouth.
Yeah, well, it's funny because vermouth gets a real bad rap.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying
from
that,
me.
That's right, from you, from everybody. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that you have to love vermouth, but I think the mistake a lot of people make is it's a fortified wine. This guy here, this is the dry vermouth here. It's only 18% alcohol.
Okay.
And so once you open it, it doesn't keep forever.
No.
You got to store it in the fridge and you got to drink it. But people don't. I think people think booze is different. I think a lot of times you got to think of it as like milk. You wouldn't buy milk and then say, "Well, that'll
keep it going. Put that on the shelf.
Yeah. Maybe you get it in January around Easter. You go, hey, have you bought some milk? That should be a future show. We should try some stuff straight because it tastes like fortified wine.
Mm.
And
but like it's fortified with vitamins?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's 10 essential nutrients.
Yeah, excellent.
And so this is the dry one.
Uh-huh.
And then this guy here is the sweet one.
Oh, and it's darker?
It's darker. Like it's a red color. And these are both Italian. But I think when you consider a sweet vermouth as normal, if you see something that's an Italian vermouth, it's usually the sweet one. And if it calls for a French vermouth, it's usually the dry one. The dry one you'd use in a martini.
Right.
This guy you'd use in a Manhattan. Just a different flavor profile. I don't know if you can tell by smelling. Have you people at home be able to smell this? Not really, but...
I think we're going to be introducing smell-o-vision soon. Okay, yeah. It's got a bit of a... Yeah, I can see where it's got that wine sort of essence to it.
And then this guy here.
This is the dry.
And it's a different smell.
Yeah, it's a little stronger, too. Yeah.
And so this first one's going to be pretty sweet, actually, because it involves the sweet vermouth and the slow gin, which is going to be sweet.
Yeah, good. Hence the name.
Yes. So we get some ice going on here. And it's real easy to do. Actually, we'll all split together. There we go. Let's get the old jigger out here. And so it's... It's half this and half that is how most of the measurements are.
Okay. Make it simple.
Yeah, so it's equal parts.
Yeah.
And so we're going to go with 3/4 ounce of the slow gin in all of its frightening redness. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
That looks nice. Smells like it's good enough just to drink that.
It's dessert.
Yeah.
And then we'll go with 3/4 ounce... of the sweet vermouth, the Italian sweet vermouth. Mm-hmm. A little bit more of that. Some possum. And then it has a couple of dashes of orange bitters.
Mm.
We're using the Fee Brothers orange bitters. And it's quite an orange hit off of that, eh?
Oh, yeah. It's very citrusy.
So we'll give it a couple of shots of that. Mm-hmm. And that is going to be a hell of a drink.
I don't want to deafen people with the ice.
No.
Because we do the show in stereo, so it's very, it's overpowering.
It is. Yeah. Now, these are big cubes. I think we should have used smaller cubes. If you're at home, use some smaller cubes. We're stirring this drink. We're not shaking it. And by stirring it, it keeps it clearer. Hmm. We'll put that in there to keep it cool. This is then strained into a cocktail glass, which we have here.
I notice I got a lot more ice than you have here. You look a little straighter, don't you? Look a little harder, a little on the edge.
I just want to keep it cool because we want to have it chilled down properly. Yeah. And with that,
are you just afraid of my hot Irish temper? Maybe you just want to keep me sedated.
That's right. Hmm. Well, what's this?
Oh, that. yeah, you better add that. That's the.
Yes, that's the the good stuff.
Your special ingredient. Yeah, you might want to.
Sorry, folks. one more. I was so eager.
We're still smoothing out the edges of the show here. We'll get it. It's only our second episode, but we will bring it up to more professional standards by episode 5, I think.
I was so eager to add the orange bitters that I neglected to add the actual measurement of the vermouth. I'm sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. Mm. I think this will give you a fairer guess as to how this drink should taste, Dave.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Mm. Oh, that's good now, though.
All right, so here we go. This is the Blackthorn cocktail, loosely based on Trader Vic's 1972 version of it, but still basically identical to the 1960 version, which was in the Bartender's Guide, which also went back to the 48 version. I think this is going to always pretty much taste the same way.
Wow.
Cheers.
Cheers. All right, let's go. Mmm.
Yeah. Mm.
That's good. How would you describe that? It's a little bit of slight syrupiness to it.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I think because of the slow gin, I think, is a little bit of a thicker. Different mouthfeel there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really sweet on the nose.
Yeah.
And then as you drink it, it's sweet, but it has a bitter aftertaste.
Yeah, aftertaste, yeah. That's what I say.
From the bitters.
Yeah.
I would guess. Yeah. Try a little bit more here.
Yeah. It's a lovely color.
Yeah, no, it's a fantastic color.
Very, enticing. Just, that is very good.
I think what some people would do too is instead of making it into the martini / cocktail glass, is that they would put it into those little tiny cordial glasses.
Right.
So you're only getting a little amount.
Right.
And you can imagine with this vibrant red color you get off of it,
mm-hmm.
that would look great on a tray in 1960.
At Christmas.
At Christmas.
Yeah,
it's a Christmas
perfect
drink.
Yeah, nice red. Yeah, nice red drink.
And you could try it shaken. It would just cloud it up for a little bit, but it is. It's a beautiful clear color that comes through there. And you can taste the vermouth, but it's sort of cut by the sweetness of the slow gin.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely cuts through it.
Yeah. Mm.
I would do that again.
Well, you may have to.
Yeah.
And so I can't imagine how this led to another Blackthorn. The interesting thing, too, it said the Blackthorn is the slow berry bush actually has thorns on it.
Oh, okay.
And so I think that's where they thought that the name might have come from.
Mm.
Yeah. But you should try it yourself at home, and I think you'll have it's a sort of a... Do you feel like a pre-dinner drink?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, something a little sweet.
Almost like an aperitif kind of a thing going on.
Yeah.
I would say. Let's see if we can rinse our palate just a little bit here because...
And do we know where do these slow berries?
Yes.
Where are they native to?
I think it's a British thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's the sort of like a gorse bush and those sort of names. Those are the sort of things you hear about. And I think it's them. And I looked online to see if I could get a slow bush.
Mm-hmm.
But
grow your own.
Grow my own.
Yeah, make your own.
But I don't know if they, you know, it's...
I don't know if you could import them, probably. Exactly. They'd be seized at the border. You can't bring this in here. No, but native.
And it probably goes crazy, right? Yeah. It'd be like Japanese knotweed.
Yeah. Say, well, yeah, it's an invasive species going.
I need to make a drink out of it, though. So you can't put it in there. You try to cut it back, and it goes insane.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, well, that was good.
Yeah, so Trader Vic's other recipe, which I didn't think we would try, though, mm-hmm. is the slow gin, but also regular gin. With the French vermouth now, the dry stuff, and the orange bitters. Maybe we'll try that another time.
Okay. But the next one you're doing is the Irish whiskey version.
It's the Irish whiskey version. Another version of this one involved 2 ounces of the sloe gin and only an ounce of the sweet vermouth. But I don't know. I kind of liked it. I thought it was pretty balanced that way. I think sometimes if you try to hide the flavors that you're using, then you're defeating the purpose of what the hell you were trying to do.
Yeah.
The Blackthorn whiskey-based one, we're using the Irish whiskey. We're going to use the dry vermouth. But the neat thing about this one is it uses a little bit of absinthe.
Oh, makes the heart grow fonder, you know. Exactly. Little absinthe.
A little absinthe. Yeah. So, let's...
absinthe. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. So, yeah, the absinthe... it's just in some cases, it's an absinthe wash, where you put it in the glass and you swirl it around, and then you would dump it out.
Oh.
And there's also one that just uses some dashes.
Seems like a terrible waste of...
Right?
Yeah.
So we're going to use the dash version, where they put the 3 dashes in.
Okay.
And this is the absinthe here. It looks great. Mm-hmm. It's such a neat color. And the funny thing about the absinthe, again, you couldn't get it for years and years.
No, it was illegal. many places.
Yeah. Then it came back, and there was some at the local liquor store, and I kept hemming and hawing about it, thinking, you know, should I go get this? And so I did. Mm-hmm. I broke down and went there, and I got it. It was very expensive. I think it was about $70 at the time, which is more than I had spent on anything, except maybe some single malt scotch for Dad. Mm-hmm. And so it was behind a guy. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, I'm interested in getting the absinthe. He goes, oh, yeah, sure. Here you go. Pulls it down, clunk, puts it down in front of me. I say, it's kind of neat, right? Because it's hasn't been around. And he sort of was vague about it. He says, yeah, no, it's supposed to be pretty good. I said, have you ever tried it? He said, are you crazy? It's 70% alcohol. I wouldn't put it in my car.
Wow.
Yeah.
And this guy was selling booze for a living.
This guy was selling.
Bit of a...
Well,
Debbie Downer in the liquor store.
You got to remind people that he's a union employee, a government union employee at the liquor store. Yeah. He's getting paid regardless of whether
you doesn't have to be like a specialist. It or not. Yeah.
So we're going to give that guy a whirl.
Okay.
And this is going to come out of the standard bartender's guide because Trader Vic, for whatever reason, didn't have a whiskey version of it.
Oh.
And so it's going to be the...
Perhaps too lowbrow for Trader Vic's, perhaps. I don't know.
Possibly. Yeah. Although, I mean, he's got a million drink recipes in there. Mm. Holy cow. Let's try this out and see what we can do with it. We're using Bushmills Irish Whiskey in honor of your heritage.
Yes, thank you.
And
expect my great Uncle Joseph, his ghost, to appear in your bedroom tonight to thank you for giving his nephew... a little something from his homeland.
His homeland.
Yeah.
The heritage.
Mm.
Now, you've been to Ireland.
Oh, I've been to Ireland, yes. And I did not really partake too much in the alcohol. Of course, I had to have a Guinness beer because, you know, it's like their national food.
That's right.
And I was there on my honeymoon with my wife, and we went into this little Irish pub. And we ordered, you know, she didn't want a Guinness, but I ordered one, of course. And they get the Guinness and they pour it out, and then they you have to let it sit on the bar for about 5 minutes because it kind of has to settle. That's kind of their tradition,
right?
And so, anyways, I get the Guinness, and we were listening to some Irish music, and I started drinking it. And my wife Jessica says, "Can I try it?" And I give it to her, and she takes a sip, and there's this guy standing next to me. He's holding a Guinness. And he goes, "You don't share a Guinness? What's wrong with you?" I said, "Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry about that. You don't do that in Ireland. You don't share a Guinness.
Wow. Oh,
so, yeah.
You were escorted to the airport immediately?
Immediately. And I can never return to Ireland over that. Yeah. Apparently, there's quite a bit of etiquette involved with the drinking. But yes, Ireland's a wonderful place. I recommend everybody go to Ireland.
All right, everybody. After we have this drink, I expect all of you to book a ticket.
Yeah.
What's the Irish airline called? They have an
Aer Lingus.
Aer Lingus.
Yeah. I don't know if I don't think it flies here in Canada, but I'm sure, you know, America, where you can get any airline, you could probably fly there, but I think we had to settle for good old Air Canada.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Aer Lingus. That's a tricky name. That's rife with all sorts of comedic possibilities.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So we've got Irish whiskey. Mm-hmm. We got so I got an ounce of Irish whiskey. I got an ounce of dry vermouth. 3 dashes of absinthe, and 3 dashes of Angostura bitters. Mm. And that is going to give us the whiskey-based Blackthorn. So this is for you, my friend.
Mm.
And over here. Ah, the happy clatter of ice. Is there anything better than that?
Mm.
Alrighty, sir. Cheers again.
I wish I had some sort of Irish proverb I could throw it at you, but I can't think of
one. I'm surprised that you don't have an Irish proverb.
Maybe next time. Maybe we'll do an all-Irish show.
What's the one that's like it's pronounced or it's spelled S-L-A-I-N-T-E? Like it's slaint or something like that? Is that Irish or is that the Scottish one?
I don't know. I'm mixed up.
Dear.
Let me think about it.
All right,
here we go. Sip one.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
This is completely different.
Yeah. It's more of your traditional boozy tasting cocktails. I don't think you'd have this before dinner.
No.
No, it's...
No.
Yeah, it's a little bit bitter.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, the dry vermouth doesn't seem to play well with the... Irish whiskey at all.
Yeah.
Well, which may be why it was rediscovered, because I think those new recipes, tinkered with it a little bit and maybe made it a little bit nicer than this.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
No, that leaves, it's got quite an aftertaste.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was interesting. But yeah, I prefer the first one.
Yeah, I think the sweeter one is much more appealing. It's got a real big vermouth hit on it.
Yeah.
Hmm. And so if you do not like vermouth.
This is probably not the drink for you.
You will not like this one here. But we may have time that we could try one more after this.
Oh, a bonus drink.
A bonus drink, because some of the recipes called for not making this one with the dry, but was making it with the sweet.
Oh.
And we'll see if the sweet vermouth mixes with the Irish whiskey any better than this.
Okay.
It's, you don't really get the absinthe on it either. The absinthe has a licorice-y sort of flavor.
Oh, I've never actually had absinthe, so I didn't know what to expect. So it's got a licorice-y kind of taste.
Kind of. Here, actually, let's... I'll give you just a little sip of it right in this thing here. Because it'll... You don't need a lot of it to get the idea of it. If you smell that, and you too at home smell your absinthe... You get sort of that black licorice kind of flavor on the...
Yeah.
And then have a sip. Like I say, it's 70% alcohol, so it might feel a little bit different in the mouth.
Yeah, no.
What do you think of that?
Yeah. Yeah, if you could have seen my face, dear podcast listeners. But yeah, that's... it's definitely 70% alcohol.
All right, let me have a taste too here.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anise flavored.
Yeah.
Big alcohol boost, but I don't get any of that flavor in this.
No,
not that I necessarily want it, but maybe unless it's in that bitterness at the end.
Mm.
Ah, yeah, the whiskey Blackthorn. Mm. I don't get how that one ever worked out at all with the dry vermouth in it.
No.
And now we're stuck with it.
You are. Yeah, no, there's plenty to go. All right.
So we might have to counter it right now
with,
let's see if we can do another one here.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same measurements, folks. We do the ounce of Irish whiskey. So we're making a special one just for Dave.
Yeah.
an ounce of the sweet vermouth this time, which turns it a much more nice color. Well, not that this color is unappealing.
No, it's sort of a light amberish kind of
thing. We'll still give it the absinthe. Mm. It called for Pernod in some of them, but I think that's because absinthe became illegal.
Right.
1, 2, 3 of the absinthe. I think the orange bitters was nice, too, but we'll try Angostura again here because, my God, they know what they're doing, the Angostura boys.
Mm-hmm.
Un, deux, trois.
Making a second appearance on the show because last week was part of the sling fest we had going.
That's right. And let's give this a little stir. Again, the airline you're looking for is Lingus.
Yep.
Yeah, the smell on this one already is completely different. Mm. And we'll see. Maybe that's why Trader Vic didn't have that one in his book. Maybe he said, no, that's a shitty drink.
Good. Quite possible.
He's just the kind of guy that would say that.
Yeah.
He said, no, that's not an enjoyable drink at all. So why would I serve that to my patrons? We'll talk more about him because he's a great guy. My God, what a...
What a character.
What a character. He had a wooden leg.
Yeah.
And apparently he would invite patrons of the bar to jam a fork or a knife into it. It was like a thing you could do. It.
Wow. Instead of playing darts, you could shove a fork into
Trader Vic's leg.
Leg. Nice.
Now, and I mean, what can that possibly do for your prosthetic leg?
I don't know.
Did he have to go every 6 months and say... God damn it, Vic, you can't keep getting people putting knives in your leg.
Yeah.
All right, this is the whiskey blackthorn, mm-hmm. but with sweet vermouth as opposed to dry vermouth.
Yeah. It's got that sort of, it's almost like a maple syrup kind of.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers. Here we go.
And taste what this is like.
Well, that's better.
Yeah,
that's
better.
Sort of like a halfway between the first one and the second one.
Yeah.
But much, much sweeter.
Yes.
Sweet. Not as sweet as the first, but
not as sweet because, with the slow gin in that sweet vermouth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, now this I could see drinking.
Yeah. No, this is delightful.
Yes. Mm. The whiskey blackthorn. Mm. So we've got the whiskey blackthorn three ways.
Mm-hmm.
We'll put all the recipes up on the site there.
Yes.
You may pick and choose at your leisure.
Mm-hmm. But we suggest trying them all. Just to see what we're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah.
And maybe even try them in a different order. Maybe you should start with the drier version. Start with the dry whiskey one.
Get the bad one out of the way and gradually get sweeter as you move on.
Mm.
Wow. Well, this has been insightful, Jason, once again.
Well,
and what other drinks and ideas do we have upcoming on future shows? What do you got in your? What are you thinking?
Well, I think because we touch on the Trader Vic Sling, we're going to have to go to the Trader Vic Sling,
okay.
Which is such a great drink.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say in this book, the Trader Vic's Bartender's Guide. You know, we're dipping into books here to get all these wonderful recipes for people to try. I mean, there's a million things, but each one that has a TV next to it with a little mani huni.
Uh-huh.
See, for example, this is the passion fruit cocktail,
mm-hmm.
lime,
mm-hmm.
passion fruit nectar, and gin.
Mm-hmm.
I think you would like that.
Oh, that sounds, yeah. Oh.
And so we might go down some tiki ways.
Oh, yeah, always love the tikis.
Yeah, perhaps we should go a bit more whiskey because whiskey is known for being a bugger to mix with.
Right.
For as far as compared to the other
liquors,
exactly.
Yeah. Mm.
Because sometimes it was smoky, sometimes it was peaty, sometimes it did this and did that.
Yeah.
And so I think we should touch on some minimal old ones too. Plus, I'll get back out the David Wondrich's book there, Imbibe.
Oh, yes, yes. I knew you'd work his name in. Yes.
Let's see if we can touch on something in there because it's those old classic recipes are really the bones that all of these new ones are built on. No. Except for maybe the tiki ones, which are so amazing. Don the Beachcombers, Zombie, or any of his other early drinks. You know, there's 10, 12 ingredients in them.
It costs your fortune at home. Yeah.
Yeah, no, by the time you finish making it, the whole thing is melted.
Yeah, I can see that. Wow.
So yeah, no, I think we should do some tiki. And I think we always got to touch back on the classics, because you, as not a huge drinker, I think it benefits you. And maybe you at home, if you're not a cocktail person, although why would you be listening to this if you weren't? You know, it might even spark you to go back and become a gentleman of elegant leisure, such as ourselves.
Yes.
Who can just lounge around and drink all day. And
play cricket.
And play cricket. Nope. Crib.
Crib.
Maybe no. It's more. It's a horse racing. We got to go to the horse races.
Right. Got to go to the track. Wow, that sounds. I'm looking forward to that. So we move
and, on. Yes, and then as we get better planned in this thing, of course, maybe we can even tell people a week ahead of time. Get your ingredients together. You can mix along live.
Yeah. There you go.
You ever see that Gordon Ramsay cooking live show?
I haven't.
It was awful. I mean, it was great, but it was awful because it's Gordon Ramsay cooking.
You're supposed to follow this master chef.
Yeah. At the same time, it was live, right?
Yeah.
He's like, all right, get all your stuff together. And then people would get all that stuff. Blanch these, cook these, bit these in the oven, get that, keep this stirring. We're making a sauce. It was about an hour, half an hour, hour. I watched it. I did it. Not very well.
No, of course. You're not Gordon Ramsay. He's been doing it. Sorry.
You say the cruelest things.
Yep. Well, so ends another episode.
Another episode.
What is it again? The Elegant Men of Leisure. I get it.
We are the gentlemen of elegant leisure. Remember, it's our job description.
Yeah, okay.
This is what we do all day long.
I know. Exactly.
Gentlemen of elegant leisure.
I think it's the alcohol. It's affecting my brain.
It could be.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Jason.
Thank you. And thank you, home listener.
And,
thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
And until next time.
Until next time.
Tip big.
I love that catchphrase. All right, folks. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.